Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
I don't know about you guys, but for me, a game is 10 times more exciting when I'm putting my money on it. Sometimes I just have a gut feeling about a matchup, and sometimes I'm just banging on my team because they're my team. Regardless, whether you've been banged for years or you're ready for the play for the first time, MyBookie is the best bet for this season. They got plenty of props to bet on. You miss a bet, you can put a live bet. They got a mobile site, so you can bet anywhere you want. I mean, you don't have to sit home in front of a computer. You can, you know, pull up your phone at a coffee shop, a strip club, you know, anything if you're feeling, you know, if you're feeling happy. Plenty of sports to bet on. Pro football, college football, NBA is coming up. And the NHL is underway. We got the NBA, you know, baseball playoffs. Lots to do, you guys. So go check it out. Oh, and if you love soccer, you got soccer too. So there's plenty of stuff to bet on, you guys. Use the promo code CHAIR to activate the first deposit offer. So you throw 100 in, you get 100 back. Go to MyBookie, guys. You bet, you win, you get paid. All right, you guys. Excuse me. It's a Monday after a bye week. I'm feeling really, really, really bad today, this morning. I'm sure it's probably those four Oktoberfest beers that I had last night. And they were, I mean, they were pints, obviously. So you figure. You figure a pint is like 16 ounces, just, you know, 6 ounce glasses. So, 60 ounce glasses times by four, that's 64 ounces. So, pretty much, a six pack of beer is 72 ounces. So, I pretty much almost had a six pack of beer. And of course, you know, given that it's craft beer, it's a little stronger, and so yeah, I'm a little bit, you know, kind of feel hurting a little bit right now. So I got the hangover, well, a whole bunch of stuff. I woke up, I felt like crap, and you get all the things associated with hangovers. You know, the headache, a little bit of nausea, the bad gas, and of course the sweats. And that's like, you know, I used to think, the headaches and like, you know, the nausea was bad. It's the sweats now that really, that are usually the worst part of it now. For me, because like you just sweat profusely, and it's like you're sweating out all the alcohol. And it's like when I would go to, you know, when I would go to see my friends, the last day was always the worst. Like that, I mean, not so much the last day, but the day that you had to leave, because from all the drinking that you did all week, you would get all these headaches. But like it would always be so humid when you would leave Ocean City. It would just be, the humidity would be crazy. And no matter how low you cranked up the AC, how cold you got it, you were always hot. You were always sweating. I think one year I thought I was going home, and I remember, I think I stripped down my boxers while I was driving, because I was so freaking hot, and I was just like sweating. So yeah, I really don't, you know, if there's one thing I don't miss about Ocean City is I drive home, because after a night of drinking, it's a living hell. Or a week of drinking, I should say. It's a living hell. Especially like if you load it up on energy drinks and mix with Jaeger. I mean, I would always ask for like a Jaeger bomb, and they had these things called Sparks bombs, which is, you know, Sparks was the energy drink. I mean, it was pretty much the Four Loko before, you know, Four Loko became big. But it was an energy drink with malt liquor, and it tastes like an orangicle. So I would pop some Jaeger into that, and that was great. They tasted so good, and then I'd be so wired that, like, I pretty much couldn't go to bed. You know, I would be up all night for the most part. But then once the energy part wore off, the alcohol kicked in, and you felt horrible for next, you know, day or two. I think one time I was so wrecked off of I could barely pronounce my name. Then I wonder what happened to me. But yeah, those are some good times in Ocean City. Let me see. I'm trying to think what bars were. There was Peppers, which is like off, I think, maybe. It's not on the main. It's on the main drag in Ocean City, not the one. There's two. Actually, there's two main drags in Ocean City. I'm trying to think where Peppers is at. It's once you get in Ocean City, there's that one. You know, there's that one main drag kind of thing, and of course, there's the highway type of main drag. I think it was off the highway type of main drag. I used to go there, and you know, we would shoot pool and plenty of beer, you know, pitchers of beer. And of course, there was also the paddock. Every Wednesday at the paddock, which is, you know, gone. I mean, if you remember the paddock, I mean, there was that big ass VW Beetle that they had, and you know, it was, you know. But it was basically three clubs in one. But every Wednesday they had the bikini competition. I got to judge it one year, which was awesome. A lot of beautiful women. And it was funny because that was a fun time. Yeah, I did get to judge a bikini competition one year. But driving Ocean City, it's, you know, you go from Pittsburgh to Breezewood, and you get the sheets at Breezewood. I mean, you get your food. But there's that stretch from like I-70 to like Baltimore, where really it should have been a. Every time we would go on that stretch, it was almost like a time warp, because that drive should have been from Breezewood to, let's say, Baltimore, maybe like an hour, you know, not an hour actually, 2 to 2.5 hours, if you're doing calculations. But for some reason, every time we would go on that stretch of road, it would take us like an hour to get to Baltimore, and we never understood why. We were going over the speed limit, but we weren't going like 100 miles an hour. Although there were some, you know, stretches where we went 100 miles an hour, but not all the time, because the cops hung out. But for some reason, we would get to Baltimore like in an hour, and it was odd. But the rule of thumb, you know, to go to Ocean City was pretty much leaving early in the morning to go. But as you get older, you're like, I really don't have to go. It's like, if you wake up early in the morning, you know, to go there, you're going to hit traffic for one thing, you know, eventually. But then you end up where the Bay Bridge is, and sometimes that's a disaster trying to get over. So for me, you know, as I got older and we got more wiser, we would leave to go to Ocean City at night, usually. We would go, like, at, say, 5. We'd leave Pittsburgh by 5, maybe 6 o'clock. And by the time you get to the Bay Bridge, it's wide open. There's nobody on it. There's no wait. And you get to Baltimore. You get to Ocean City by, like, maybe, like, 11 o'clock. If you leave at 5, you'll get there at 11. It's a 6-hour drive. Maybe less, depending on how fast you go. And how many, you know, and maybe you don't do as many pit stops. But, you know, you leave at 5, you get there, as you say, 11, and the bars are still open. Of course, you have to check into your place. But, you know, the bars are still open. And you get to, you know, have a few hours of drinking. And then, of course, you know, before you leave, you grab, you know, before you get home, you grab your 6-pack. And all is well. Alright, so let's get to, let's get off the whole Ocean City hangovers and whatnot crap, and let's get to some football. Well, for one thing, you know, my family was in town, and I guess my mom and dad were, you know, they spent some time with me and, you know, the kids, and, you know, yesterday, I don't know what the hell it was, but we went to a pumpkin patch, and actually, it wasn't, in all reality, it wasn't really a pumpkin patch. It's basically a place where they have, like, a petting zoo type of thing. You get to feed the animals and pet them, and they got all this other stuff, like, you know, a little, you know, they got a pool, pony rides. They got this train, which is basically a tractor, and a bunch of these little old cars that you can barely fit in if you're me. But they obviously do some good business. And there's an ambulance coming by. Last time we were there, it was empty. There was nobody there. We get there, and it's packed this time. And of course, it's because they have a pumpkin patch, and of course you can get pump. You know, I think they were giving free pumpkins to the kids, or maybe or it was either that or they were a buck a piece, one of the two. So basically, people are coming here just so they can go into the little pumpkin patch, take pictures of the kids, and pose with the stupid pumpkins. And of course, pick out your pumpkin. I don't think I've ever, you know, as long as I've had kids, I don't think I've ever taken, this is probably the first actual time I've taken them to a pumpkin patch. And I don't know, guys, to each their own. I don't get the obsession with the damn pumpkin patches. I mean, I don't know. I mean, what, you know, growing up for me, I mean, if I, you know, I don't know if I ever went to a pumpkin patch as a kid. I think if I went to the pumpkin, you know, for my mom, mom and dad to carve, right, or I helped them carve it, come on, dickhead. I had to let this person in front of me, who, you know, they could have went behind me, but because the lane was ending, because there was no cars behind me, but they were insisting on getting ahead of me. Oh, well, it's Monday. Usually, I think, you know, you back the pumpkins. Usually, my mom would bring me a pumpkin back home. And we'd carve it, and we'd roast the seeds, and that's that. So, I'm sure, you know, my kids all got pumpkins this year. And we'll most likely carve them. And you know, as far as the seeds go, you roast them. I mean, you put salt on them if you want, salt and pepper. Or if you're feeling a little bit adventurous, you put some different seasonings on it. You know, throw some garlic powder on that, on them. Dark powder, onion powder. You know, barbecue seasoning. You know, you get creative with the pumpkin seeds this time. Make some different flavors. And sure, you'll throw them in the oven, and they may, you know, you may chew them. The shells may get stuck in the back of your throat, but they're still good. All right, now back to all that. Back to football. Steelers won. You know, I went and watched the game with mom and dad last night. I came over. You know, met them at the bar. By the time I did, the Steelers were already up 14-0. Eventually, they were up 24-0. Of course, somehow, you know, it was. I mean, if you took the 6.5 of the Steelers, it worked out for you. Anything above it, I'm sure you're probably not happy. Because you know how the Steelers are, they don't let up. Well, no, they it's not that they don't let up. They usually let up and they let the team, you know, score some points. And so the Chargers, you know, they may look respectable at the end, where the Chargers, you know, got within 17 and, you know, 24-17, and that was that. So, you know, if they don't fumble away in the Baltimore game away, they're 3-3. I mean, they're still in contention for the conference. It just depends on who wants it more. And obviously, it's going to be Baltimore. Baltimore did win against the Bengals, but the Bengals covered that game because Baltimore was 11-point favorites. Obviously, there's some trouble in Cleveland still because, you know, they're not. They have all this star power. They're not winning games. They're 2-4. But if I'm really Cleveland fans, I'm pretty much going to give the. You know, I'm going to be patient about this because, you know, give them another year. It's their first year. You know, let them get some cohesiveness and see what happens. See if Baker can, you know, develop his game a little bit. Who knows? But looking at the rest of the NFL, the Texans beat the Chiefs, which was a huge win for them. It was funny, you know, a few weeks ago, there were some tension, supposedly, with the Vikings, and, of course, you know, Stephon Diggs wanted out, and Kirk Cousins was being called out. But now the Vikings are 4-2 after beating the Eagles, and Diggs had a really big game, and I'm, you know, I think for some teams, they just get frustrated easily because they have all this talent and, you know, they should be more capable of winning more games, but I guess it happens as the football turns. Now, let's get to some fun stuff. The ACC over the weekend. Well, first of all, we had the Thursday night game with Syracuse and NC State, which was pretty much the most... Well, the game was pretty much a snoozer for the most part because Syracuse, for whatever reason, can't score on the road. And, well, I think NC State was breaking their quarterback and Syracuse lost again. And, you know, I wasn't really buying the hype too much with Syracuse. I thought NC State would challenge Clemson this year, but... It doesn't look like anybody really is. But, you know, Wake Forest was the flavor of the month. And now, you know, Wake lost to Louisville over the weekend. Now Louisville's the flavor of the month because everybody, you know, I don't know what it is with the ACC media's obsession with Louisville. Ever since they joined the conference, I mean, people just love them. They want you to love them. I can understand. I mean, when they picked up Louisville, their basketball program have Rick Pitino as their coach. And, of course, Petrino, you know, not Petrino, but I think Charlie Strong was coming in. Or they were coming off the Charlie Strong years, where they went to some big bowl games. They had Teddy Bridgewater. And, you know, Petrino was coming in, and they had Lamar Jackson. So I can understand why the love with Louisville, but I understand they beat Wake, and they scored, and their offense obviously did pretty well, being 62 points. But they gave up 59 to Wake. They beat, you know, Boston College the week before, 41-39. So, I mean, I think it's a bit too early to call them, you know, good. But the weirdness in the ACC Coastal has officially begun. It started Friday night when UVA met Miami. And we saw that game. I even said that this was a big game for, you know, for the Coastal Division race, and Miami should be taken lightly. You know, they have two losses, but they can still play the spoiler. And a lot of people were betting Miami. Miami was minus one. I mean, that's another thing. Miami was a minus one favorite in that game. I mean, they, despite the fact that Miami was bad, there was no faith that UVA could actually beat them, which I found odd, but that's, you know, it happens. Nobody, you know, people, you know, gamblers obviously weren't buying the hype. But I watched the game, and pretty much it was a horrible showing. You would think that Sean Watson was coaching both the offenses. That's how bad it was. I mean, I did feel bad for Bryce Perkins because he played a hell of a game. He managed the game pretty well. He didn't turn the ball over. He made big throws, and he was moving the. I mean, they were. I mean, Virginia was moving the ball. They just couldn't get in the end zone. And that was the big difference. I even said during the game, I was like, well, all UV has to do is score a touchdown and this game's over. And well, it didn't happen. Miami pulled away, and now they're, you know, UVA has one loss on the coast like everybody else. I just love playing the Coastal. I just wish we had our own playoff, because I mean it's great. But now, Pitt obviously needs to take care of business on their end now, as they get ready for Syracuse on Friday. We'll talk about that game later this week. But the weirdness has begun, and let's have fun. So as we look at the rest of the games in the ACC, Duke knocked off Georgia Tech, no surprise there, 41-23. Clemson, you know, crapped on Florida State, 45-14. Virginia Tech knocked off Rhode Island, 34-17. So Tech, I think, is now 3-3, so they may get to a bowl game this year. And of course, Louisville beats Wake, which surprised the hell out of me. 62-59. Now let's look at the rest of the top 25. There were some really good games at night. I guess that, well, depends on what you call good. Penn State and Iowa was a defensive battle, and I have a feeling the officials took Iowa with a plus 3.5. Because they were doing, at one point they were doing everything they could to keep Penn State out of the end zone. I think Penn State scored, you know, two touchdowns on one drive and ended up having nothing to show for it because they kept having the touchdowns called back. And it was safe for us to all, in terms of the gambling community that took Penn State minus 3.5. Iowa gets that one last drive and gets their drive resuscitated on the target on a bad targeting call. Iowa scores eventually, but they didn't make the 2 points, and so all the gamblers all breathed a sigh of relief. Georgia got knocked off by South Carolina. This was a shocker because I thought Georgia would win, although they haven't really been playing good. But South Carolina took care of business. Michigan beats Illinois 42-25. Michigan was up 28-0 at halftime, and they somehow, next thing you know, I was refreshing the screen. It's 28-25. I'm not sure how that happened. Bama beat A&M 47-28. Arizona State knocked off Mike Leach's team 38-34. Herm Edwards, man, he's doing some things with the Sun Devils. Baylor knocks off Texas Tech 33-30. Baylor just keeps moving up. Notre Dame knocks off USC 30-27. No surprise there. Penn State, Iowa, as we all know, 17-12. LSU knocks off Florida 42-28. I mean, it was 21 all at halftime, and LSU pulled away. I mean, Coach O's doing some big things at LSU, and mainly because he's upgraded his staff. He's upgrading the mentality. I mean, the less miles you have, more of a running football, power football mentality. And I mean, he had plenty of offensive talent at LSU. I mean, you looked at some guys, you wondered, how the hell did they end up at LSU when, playing or less miles. But they're doing big things in our Coach O. Him and Matt Canada didn't really work out too well, and it happens. I think last year people were sketchy about Coach O, and I mean, sure I was, because they really didn't beat anybody. Can they challenge Bama? It's hard to say. I mean, they obviously will. They'll play him, but I'm not sure they'll still challenge him because Bama's still Bama. But we'll see. As we close out of here, some final things. I noticed that I was reading that Dan Snyder's trying to get Mike Tomlin to coach at Washington. I really don't know why. Tomlin's probably at the end of his coaching career. Because for me, if it was me, I would... if Ben's retiring, I don't see Ben coming back, I'd probably hang it up as well. Because you got a rebuild coming up with the Steelers. But if you go to Washington, it's even more of a bigger rebuild because of who is your boss. It's Dan Snyder. And the Washington Redskins are a mess. So in the case of Tomlin, would I take the job? No. But here's what I would do. If I really wanted to leave, go to Washington... If I'm Tomlin, I negotiate a really big buyout. Because there's probably a good chance you're going to get fired because you work for Snyder anyway. And he's probably going to fire you no matter what you do. I mean, you could go 10-6, he'll still fire you. Because he'll fund the next sexy coaching hire and throw his money at him. So all Tomlin needs to do, if he really wants to secure his the rest of his life... negotiate a really big contract buyout. So when you do get fired, you got a nice retirement package coming for you. That'd be the only reason I would go to the Skins. Because one, they'd be willing to pay. And two, if things don't work out, at least have a buyout. And I get a lot more money with it. I mean, if I'm a college football coach, and say I do really good at, like I say, a non-P5 school and a P5 school wants to offer me big money, get the big buyout. So when things fail, you can, live easy. Oh, well, guys, enjoy the rest of your week. Hello, Pitt. Talk to you later.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig. Inspiring kid confidence.